When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
You're listening to a Score North podcast right now, and if you're a business owner, so are your customers. In fact, I could be talking about your business right now, telling the tens of thousands of loyal fans about you and sending them to your business. Find out how you can partner with your favorite Score North podcast. Visit scorenorth.com now and enter keyword partner. Fill out the form, and we'll get in touch with you quickly. Once Phil, Judd, Declan, or others start talking about your company, you'll be amazed at how many fans start showing up. So visit scorenorth.com now and enter keyword partner.
These two guys have Minnesota sports flowing in their veins. Mackie and Judd on Score North and ScoreNorth.com.
We are 2 days away from the NFL draft, so no better time to bring in our friend from the 5 Eyewitness News Sports Department. His name is Darren Doogie Wolfson, and he is here with information, speculation. Darren, how are you, sir?
Happy draft week, Phil. It's as good as it gets, right? Although we've beaten this topic into the ground for so many months, there is a part of me that is very much looking forward to late Thursday into Friday, into the next handful of weeks and months when we can analyze the one specific quarterback they land on.
The nice thing about this, though, is like this is the only time really in years and years that you know, the Vikings are part of this conversation, right? So it's like, yes, it's been going on for months, but I mean, if things go according to plan, if things go well, we're not going to get this bite at the apple again for a long time, hopefully. So this has been probably the most fun that I have had recklessly speculating and trying to sift through the tea leaves about a draft because it involves a position that when you think about it, like what, maybe the Ponder year, we talked a lot about the QB class. I think we did, but you know, the Teddy year, they traded back into the draft, into the 32nd spot. So that wasn't really on our radar at the time. So I'm with you. I'm excited to find out and start the next chapter. But I will never forget. I will never forget the spring of 24 when it was a glorious, glorious bit of reckless speculation regarding quarterbacks.
Well, and it really is. Like, I get it. Like, the last 48 hours, there are many national talking heads suggesting no way, no how are the Patriots moving out of 3.
Yeah.
Do we really, really know that? Is there still the possibility of some sweetheart offer
that the Vikings, by the way, make? You sure about
that? I mean, if I had to bet right now, I think the spot to look at is 4, maybe 5 before 3. But, like, I can't sit here and tell you with 100% certainty, especially with all the crap being tossed about these last 48 hours this week. Like, I can't sit here, I'm sorry, guys, I can't sit here and definitively tell you no way, no how are the Patriots, like, not interested in moving that pick. Like, I still think they're very much open for business. Doesn't mean the Vikings are going to get up to 3. Again, like, I think more so 4 or 5. But, like, I don't know what to buy at this point. But I do think, like, if I had to bet right now, it's what I've been saying for a long time. I think the Vikings will select a quarterback in the top 10 for the first time in franchise history, which means they move up from 11.
There also are reports now that I've seen in the past day or so that Robert Kraft is injecting himself into this.
And his son, Jonathan Kraft.
Yeah. So, like, this is a get, cause I'm sure one of the, at the end of the day, I'm sure one of the objections to Belichick style was him saying, get the F out of my draft room. Right. Elliot Wolf's like 42. He ain't going to say that. So, like, to your point, Dukes, that sets up a wild card, because let's say Wolf says we should take a quarterback and the Crafts are like, what are you talking about? We got a lot to do here, or vice versa. Anyway, yeah, I think this is one of the just glorious, without the Vikings involved, this would be juicy with the Vikings involved. It is just meaty.
Well, remember, Elliot Wolf was in the mix before they hired Kwesi Adofo-Mensah, so he's been craving this opportunity to have final say. Although, yes, with Jonathan, with Robert, with the Crafts being involved, does he truly have final say? And yes, we don't know. Like, yeah, he might be like, hey, we're taking Drake May at 3 no matter what, or J.J. McCarthy, you name the quarterback. The Crafts might be like, no, no, no. Like, we need this, that. Like, let's get down to 11. Penix will be there. Let's grab Penix. We'll get a quarterback, but we can get all these other draft assets. That's why there are just so many different possibilities. And it's hard to, like, pinpoint exactly what is going to take place. But we've been saying it for a while. The Vikings have targeted this specific draft, the amount of homework they've done on these draft-eligible quarterbacks well before January. Yes, it ramped up at the Senior Bowl in January, specifically with Nick Penix, then others thereafter. But going back well before that, the amount of scouts, front office executives that have watched these guys, games in person, practices, right? I mean, let's not undervalue the practices and just seeing how they interact with their teammates, just the way they conduct themselves on a Wednesday afternoon or a Thursday afternoon compared to the bright lights of a Saturday afternoon or Saturday night. Like, the Vikings have done so much homework with so many people in their front office. Like, we know something is going to happen on Thursday, but, like, I can't just, like, stake my, you know, reputation on, like, this one specific thing happening, yeah. Right? Like, I can't just sit here and say, Jaden Daniels, Thursday night, is going to be a Viking, or J.J. McCarthy is going to be a Viking. I'm not there. I'm sorry. I know, you know, you bring me into this space to hopefully, like, have all these answers. In this case, I don't have that specific answer. I'm just telling you, like, reading the tea leaves the best I can, they are going to get up from 11.
I have a take that it's hard for your takes to sort of pivot this late in the process, but I have a take for you guys that I think is different than maybe it was a week ago based on something that happened with these top quarterbacks. And it involves a little speculation, but
reckless speculation.
You guys have seen the movie Draft Day, right? That's Declan and I always wake up early on draft day, pop in little Kevin Costner. And there's like the scouting part of it, but then there's the sort of personality and social part of it, right? Why didn't anyone go to his birthday party? You know, like what's the thing that you need to dig beneath the surface for to find out, oh, that's the red flag. It's not on tape. It's actually behind the scenes. It's something weird. Vontae Mack, no matter what. But last week, the Commanders went unorthodox and they got scorched for it. Said, oh, classic Commanders, just bring in a bunch. Why would they bring in all four quarterbacks? Why would they bring everyone in Top Golf? They don't know what they're doing in Washington. So they bring together all these players. It's the alpha test, right? Let's put them all in a room and see who sort of comes out on top, who gets weird and insecure. Let's send them out to a Top Golf, interact with each other, and let's just observe and see what happens. Well, the next day, Jaden Daniels' agent starts to take to Twitter and he's liking tweets that are ripping the Commanders. He's putting out emojis. That's clearly coming from his client, Jaden Daniels. I saw a podcast yesterday with Drake May. It was Drake May and Kevin Clark, formerly of The Ringer. I think he's now Athletic. Sorry, Kevin Clark. You're awesome. Buy Kevin Clark on Twitter. And he asked Drake May, hey, there was a whole hubbub about this group outing at Top Golf. What did you think of it? And Drake May kind of laughs. He goes, I loved it, man. I thought it was great. Usually you meet with these teams and they take you out for a steak dinner and you're with the GM and the coach and the quarterback coach and some other guy in a suit. And he goes, I loved it. It was a chance to get to know some guys and this and that and the other. So if all these guys have pretty good tape and they all have high-end tools and one guy gets all offended because he's put in a group with other quarterbacks that might threaten his position number two overall. And the other guy's like, huh, it was super fun. I love Top Golf. It was great meeting Jaden Daniels and Michael Penix. I think I like Drake May more than Jaden Daniels based on the fallout from the Commanders' Top Golf outing. That's my take.
Well, I don't think it's an asinine take. I actually like what the Commanders did. Heck, good for Drake May. Like, there's monetary value in going 2 compared to even whatever it might be, 4, 5, or perhaps even lower. I mean, I get it. Yeah. You really hit the jackpot on the second contract, but you can't make more money going to, right? So, like, why would you diminish that outing? So good for Drake for going on the record saying what he should have said. Maybe he feels that way. Maybe he doesn't. Is it also something we've brought up that some of the national folks have now picked up on? I think, Judd, maybe you brought it up first, what, week, 2 weeks ago, about Jaden Daniels. Does Jaden want to be in Washington? And my sense is if he goes to, like, he'll welcome it with open arms. But deep down, does he prefer to be either here or maybe Vegas? I think I'm buying some of the Vegas theme. But, like, I know Jaden Daniels has all sorts of interest in being here in Minnesota. So could the agent be trying to play that game, a little bit of the Eli Manning game, trying to position Jaden here or with the Raiders?
I also think in Jaden's case, I think they took offense, not because of the meet and greet opportunities, but because they probably erroneously thought, well, he's going to. Like, I think the Daniels camp before that thought he is locked in. And then he wasn't. But I mean, to Phil's point, that's also a tell, because you should not assume anything.
Why are they bringing other quarterbacks in? Okay, dude, see you.
Yeah, and
thanks for telling yourself.
Bringing guys in together, first of all, is not like unheard of. Second of all, it allows, I think it's smart. Like, to me, this is not a Daniel Snyder Washington move. He's just a complete buffoon and a jackass. This is a smart move. Like, I want to see how guys act. The Bears, when they brought Caleb in for his visit, actually sent him out to a restaurant with potential teammates. They're like, we've talked to him. Like, he's going to say the canned stuff. We're going to send him out with a group that we perceive to be the leaders from our team to see how he acts. So, like, I like this stuff. But, yeah, it is interesting that Jaden and his agent seem to take offense. And you know what? I'll say this, you guys. I'm not sure about you. The 2, 3, and 4s now, so May, Daniels, McCarthy, that's the one thing. I got no clue, and it looks like people are just guessing. I don't think that we know what the internal steam is about those three, besides the fact they all very well could go top five.
Well, yeah, they absolutely all could go top five. We've never seen it before, quarterbacks going 1, 2, 3, and 4. And I don't know, like, maybe this is the first time in NFL history we see quarterbacks go 1, 2, 3, and 4. But, like, I don't know for sure. I will say, like, I also like, was it random that Keenan Allen was at Caleb Williams' pro day? I also wonder, from a Viking standpoint, what sort of behind-the-scenes interaction has Justin Jefferson had with any of these guys? And what sort of feedback has he provided the Vikings? Specifically, I mean, the easy leap is, okay, same representation as J.J. McCarthy. So Jefferson specifically with McCarthy. McCarthy was just on the Adam Schefter podcast, asked specifically about the Vikings. He gushed, right? Like, and hey, like, if he was asked about being a Patriot, maybe it's sort of the same tone, but you read the words of what J.J. said, you listen to the way he articulated, hey, his interest in being here with the Vikings, you know, you wonder. I'm just telling you, like, let's not underscore, because the Vikings are still signing Jefferson to an extension. I'm not buying any of the trade talk, never have. It's still going to happen. Yeah, maybe it's more like July, right before training camp. It's not on the cusp. I know he put something on Instagram the other day. I think that was a Drake lyric, right? So some people were opining, okay, is there a Drake-May connection there?
The vague social media post.
Oh, God.
Yes, but I'm just wondering, more so, you know, speculating here on a Tuesday, not a Thursday, but Justin Jefferson, what's been his interaction with these guys? Mm-hmm.
Another thing that came out late last week, but since the last time you joined us on Thursday, was the viral clip of Kevin O'Connell answering a question at that church in Plymouth, like Friday or whatever day it was. And so just for some context here, Doogie, we have on Purple Daily, we have invited anyone that has any sort of information. If you have an uncle whose friend at work has a cousin whose wife is friends with someone who works at TCO Performance Center, you send us the info. We will have the former lead Vikings beat writer from the Star Tribune sniff it out. Is it worthy of putting on the show or not? And we'll do it anonymously. Okay. So people have been sending us a lot of fun stuff over the past few weeks. One guy actually said his dog sniffed something at the gas station down the street from TCO Performance Center, and it led him to believe that Michael Penix might be the quarterback. But last night, we did get an anonymous email
All right.
About the quarterback killer thing. That's what I want to talk to you about here is like KOC referred to himself as the quarterback killer inside the building, that there's been a few chances to draft different quarterbacks and he has shot them down the last 2 years. And so anonymous tip for you guys on KOC, the quarterback killer from anonymous emailer. A friend of mine knows someone who knows KOC. Prior to last year's draft, KOC behind the scenes was comparing Will Levis to Blaine Gabbert and wanted nothing to do with him when Levis was there in the first round last year. I knew that there was no way we were taking him because I had this information before the draft. It really makes you go back, though, and start to look at, oh, who could they have drafted the last couple years? And KOC behind the scenes was like, nope, sorry.
This is Tom Bernard. Can't get enough of sports talk with Phil Mackey and Judd Zolgad? Tune in to the new Tom Bernard Show podcast Monday through Friday as Phil and Judd join me to discuss the latest sports headlines and whatever else comes to mind.
Just download the Tom Bernard Show app wherever you get your podcasts or visit TomBernardShow.com. It's another way to get more from me and Judd talking sports and having fun with Tom, and it's all at your fingertips. Download the Tom Bernard Show app now and join the conversation.
Well, I mean, Malik Willis, yes. Yeah. Will Levis, those are two names, the two guys with the Titans that instantly come to mind. I don't think they ever could have gotten high enough for Anthony Richardson. Like, I didn't hear behind the scenes that, like, KOC was nixing the idea of Anthony Richardson. I think there was genuine interest in Anthony Richardson a year ago. He just so happened to go top five when, even like this time last year, 48 hours prior, I'm not sure we saw him going top five. So if he started to fall, okay, maybe the Vikings could have moved up, but I don't sense it ever got remotely close to happening. That gathering was last Thursday. So they were in Baton Rouge, met with Jaden, but remember last Thursday morning or whatever it was, I mentioned, hey, like no dinner, just meeting. So the Vikings were able to get back here in time for KOC to be at that church in Plymouth, whatever time it was. Last Thursday night, it was great. Like, he handles those situations so darn good. Vikings fans, I'm telling you, whatever you think of Kevin in the moment in October, you know, in game, play calling, whatever, I'm just saying the Vikings are in really, really good hands with Kevin O'Connell leading the way.
By the way, the guy who asked KOC that question at that church, he is Miles Gorham's teammate in college from football. He knows that guy.
Oh,
he's serious?
Oh, tell Miles.
Yeah, well, I just started following him on Twitter. Stuff. Yeah, or X, whatever we're calling it now. Yeah.
Hilarious.
He's good. I mean, I was looking at some of his posts. Like, he knows the quarterback position. So I saw he was following me, you know, got wind it was him. So I hit a follow back. So, yeah, I mean, he's omnipresent. I'll tell you that much. Maybe he would be a good get for future Vikings.
Let's go. Get him on Ventline, dude. Yeah, let's seriously. Do it.
He did get more than I think would have been possible for us. And I did think that Kevin going through, O'Connell going through sort of the litany of how it works and talking about the fact that, because, I mean, his quote, which was lengthy about this, went on to say something along the lines of, I have helped them avoid mistakes before. Like, it was very direct as far as his thoughts. But, I mean, it did leave, it left the impression that I think we all assumed. But, I mean, this is his pick. And so
it should be,
and it should
like,
be,
you don't want it to be Kwesi's pick. I'm sorry.
I
want
agree
it to
with
be Kevin's pick with McCown certainly having an opinion that matters, but this is KOC's pick the way it should be.
I agree completely. But I think the point is, I think what he was saying is there have been some, I took that quote to mean this. There have been quarterbacks left that we could have taken. And I said, no, I did not take that to mean he's ever nixed trading up. I think in some ways that was a very subtle way of telling Kwesi, the pressure is on here. We're trading up this time. And I think that that's what, because I did not take that to mean that there have been some upper echelon QBs and the Vikings are killing trades. I think they tried to trade up. They couldn't. And now Kevin's saying it's high time to do exactly that. And we're just going to have to pay the price, which some people don't like.
And okay, let's say they move up to four. So they might be handcuffed, right? Like if 2 and 3 don't move, right? I mean, they may just end up with whichever of the three is still on the board. And I continue to hear, like, there's interest in Egan. My sense is in all three of those guys. And I get it. They absolutely prefer one over the other two. I understand that. I don't know who that one is. But, like, I genuinely believe there is legit interest in all of Daniels, McCarthy, and May. And I get it. There are flaws with May. I had a nice conversation with Dan Orlovsky of ESPN yesterday, right? I mean, just going through, you know, whether it's the footwork, the mechanics, all that, like he really feels like, and it's the opinion of others who know infinitely more than I do on this topic, that, hey, like Drake May, like decent chance he needs to sit the entire year. And like Orlovsky was like, hey, like McCarthy, he can play pretty quick. Like he's like, hey, if McCarthy ends up with the Vikings, he is my pick to win offensive rookie of the year.
Yeah.
So he thinks JJ, you know, now I don't know if the Vikings would go to JJ as soon as like week four or week five, but Orlovsky just, he believes, and his guy, by the way, among those three is Jaden Daniels. Like he prefers Daniels McCarthy.
Over Caleb. May.
Yeah, I
think he has him number one, like of all the.
Yeah, I mean the way I framed the question was, okay, Caleb off the board. So yeah, you may be right on that, Phil.
No.
You know, I haven't watched a ton of NFL Live. I do follow him on social media. So yeah, I will defer to you on that. I just framed it. Hey, with the Vikings, let's assume Caleb off the board. We know Caleb is going one. So among Daniels, McCarthy, May, you know, who would you take if you're the Vikings? He went Jaden one, but then he went on a long, you know, rant about not rant, but you know, a breakdown of hey. Like McCarthy, like with Kevin, that would work phenomenally well. Like through the roof. Hey, offensive rookie of the year. Drake, yes, his issues are fixable. It would work there, but he needs to sit for an entire year. But I'm just saying, it's entirely possible. Okay, they get up to four. But yeah, Daniel's gone, and one of McCarthy or May is gone. So, you know, the Vikings just end up with that last guy.
And to go back to what O'Connell talked about Dugues in the church in Plymouth. He basically, to me, talked about Drake May without saying his name, because he talked about, I can fix anything that's wrong below the waist. Basically, I mean, if you go through what Orlovsky,
yes,
if you May. Go through what yeah. Orlovsky breaks down on Drake as being the reasons why he would have to sit, and then you listen to what O'Connell says he can fix, it syncs up perfectly as Drake May.
Is your bet, if you had to bet right now, okay, among Daniels, McCarthy, May, do you feel like May is number one on the Vikings list?
I do.
Yep.
Yeah.
Agreed.
I'm leaning that way, too.
I think McCarthy's number two.
For a while was McCarthy, but I am leaning that way on Drake. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think Daniels might be more fun, athletic, and he certainly has abilities. But I think Kevin, to a certain point, you guys, I think Kevin is looking for what Kevin wants to coach. Like it's basically his Frankenstein.
He
like
doesn't
want that guy.
Yeah, I think the idea, like, I think they would draft Jaden Daniels, but I don't think he's in love with needing a 1,000-yard rusher caliber quarterback. I think he wants someone that, not that Jaden Daniels can't also be a great passer, and he was. I mean, look at the numbers he put up as a passer, but I think it makes Kevin nervous when his quarterback is out potentially taking monster hits from 250-pound athletes. So
I'm just trying to figure out then what's the separation, because I agree with you guys, Drake won, but what's the separation then Drake to McCarthy?
Mm-hmm.
Like, is there much of a separation? Because you look at what McCarthy can do. I mean, he screams Kevin O'Connell quarterback in so many ways.
Yep. I told Phil this, Dukes. I think that right now, JJ McCarthy's ceiling is higher, like, right, but it's set. I think they look at Drake May and say, okay, he might have to actually sit, and his ceiling is not where McCarthy's might be right now, but over the course of a few years, that ceiling will exceed McCarthy. That's how I take it.
I think it goes back to, you know, entering the 2023 season. I mean, there was legit dialogue about the way May played in 2022 that, hey, like, let's have a legit conversation about who really is the number one pick. Is it Drake May or Caleb Williams? I think they go back to that in many ways. So yeah, I'm with you guys. I think if I had to bet right now, like if they can get one guy, I think it's probably May.
Hey, we need to talk about just the latest on the Timberwolves ownership situation and some of the upcoming benchmark dates here. But Judd, let's tell the audience about our friends at Finch Home Solutions, not Chris Finch Home Solutions, just nope. Cody Finch Home
Solutions. Yeah, because that's that would be Chris Finch's basketball solutions. Cody yeah. Finch
game one was a Finch Home Solution.
It was beautiful. It was a thing of beauty. In fact, I bet our friend Cody loved that. But you know what? Cody also loves, yes, he loves the purple, he loves sports, but he also loves making sure that your home is safe as can be. And that means fixing any electrical problems or electrical issues that might be in your home. It also means this. Let's say you're thinking about a hot tub. I'm going to install a hot tub, right? Well, there's a lot of electrical needs there. And guess what? Finch Home Solutions on top of that. Also on top of things like upgrades to current systems, flickering lights, breakers tripping. I've had them to my house, and I'm going to tell you right now, fast, efficient, courteous. They are absolutely outstanding. And if you want to talk some Vikings draft, Cody always happy to drop in his thoughts because he is a diehard fan. 612-357-2604, FinchHomeSolutions.com. FinchHomeSolutions.com. There is no question who your first round pick for electrical fixes is. It's FinchHomeSolutions.com.
Okay, from Cody Finch to Dennis Kirk. It's riding season here. Yesterday, I think we hit just under 70 degrees again. So we're emerging into riding season, whether you ride a motorcycle, maybe it's ATVs, dirt bikes, UTVs, or maybe you're just looking ahead for the next snowmobile season. Go to DennisKirk.com and check out over 185,000 parts, apparel, and accessories. They also have a couple great tools on their website, like the Ride Finder tool. You can enter your make, model, and year and find parts that exactly fit whatever your ride is. All orders placed before 8 p.m. Central are shipped the same day. And shipping is free on orders over $89. Thank you to Dennis Kirk for jumping back here for another riding season on Score North Podcast. DennisKirk.com. Okay, last few minutes here, Doogie. So there was an article that came out this morning. I'm butchering the name here. I believe it's Joe Pompliano, who has kind of a business, sports business audience. He laid out a bunch of reasons, and you've reported on a lot of this, and or Glenn, Mark, and Alex have just said on the record a lot of this stuff. But the angle that he took is that there's multiple examples of Glenn Taylor sabotaging this deal over the past couple of years. And now we wait for mediation, next week? And that, so what's going to happen here? Give us like a timeline frame and sort of where things are at as the Wolves look to continue on the court winning playoff games.
Yes. So mediation next week in Minneapolis. I was originally told May 2nd. I see that Woj has May 1st. Maybe it's both days being bookmarked, that not a lot is going to be accomplished in just one day. So that may take multiple days, but let's be frank, mediation is going to get this situation nowhere. Nothing is going to be resolved next week.
So what is that, by the way? Is that Glenn and a lawyer with Mark and a representative and then a mediator?
It may just be representation of both sides.
Okay.
I don't know specifically if Glenn and Mark and Alex will also be in the room. So I need to get clarity on that part of it. But bottom line, nothing is going to be accomplished next week. We then will move on to, my understanding is, July for a three-person panel arbitration hearing, which I don't know if that'll go anywhere because it'll be somebody on the Mark and Alex side, somebody on the Glenn side, and somebody who's independent. And so I guess, you know, an arbiter will have to rule at that point, you know, which side is in the right. I've said for a while, like, you can just look at the agreement. I was told that the agreement that's on court, is it listener.com from the Orbach case back in 2021, that the agreement, the 47-page agreement, like, nothing has been changed. That was my question, because it's out there. Like, you can read all 47 pages.
Yeah.
It's right there. We've discussed this going back weeks. I just was curious, hey, was anything amended? Like, were there any changes along the way? I was told by multiple people, no. Like, what you see there from 2021 that everybody can read, that is the purchase agreement. If you go through that, people who know way more about the language than I do have told me they, being Mark and Alex, have a really good case. Like, it's laid out. They get this 90-day extension. So I'm still curious, what evidence does Glenn have, his attorney Greg, that they have not met terms of that agreement? I still think in the end, it's going to be really hard for Mark and Alex, even if the arbiter in July sides with them, or if it ends up going beyond that, if no resolution can be found with the arbiter, although I would think an arbiter just makes a ruling at that point, right? Mediation doesn't solve anything.
Yeah.
But go to the arbiter makes a determination. I still think it's going to be hard in the end for the NBA to say, okay, yes, Mark, yeah, Alex, you guys are the majority owners.
It's an amazingly just uncomfortable situation here, and all three of these guys are sitting courtside for game one. I'm assuming they're all going to be back for game two tonight. I ran into all of them just in passing. I didn't see these exact interactions, but I heard that Glenn sort of made a couple attempts behind the scenes in the bowels of Target Center with other people around to be chummy, and it, almost like nothing contentious is happening. So it's weird for everyone. And you've got
people that Glenn's birthday on Saturday. Yeah.
Was it? Oh man.
Yeah.
So you got people that work for the Wolves too, that are trying to figure out, like, you know, mommy and daddy are getting a divorce. You know, what do I do? Who can
I talk to? It's been weird for a while. Like, there are employees that just report to Mark and Alex, but they work for the Wolves.
So it's literally Succession. If you guys have watched Succession, this is literally Kendall and Roman are doing their own thing, and old man Logan Roy, and by the way, Glenn Taylor and Logan Roy, horrible comparable to make, but it is very much a Succession playing out series with the Wolves right now.
It's weird.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, just like, imagine if you're Mark and Alex, like, I guess, like, you weren't going to push Glenn away, but, like, what a weird interaction, a weird bro hug, like, just the whole thing. And I get it, Glenn doesn't want to engage in a war of words, but Mark and Alex are not happy at all. Yeah, then you reference, you know, the Joe report today. Shooter had a note in his column on Sunday in the St. Paul Pioneer Press that, hey, before it gets to this three-person panel in July, this arbitration hearing, that the sense is Glenn is going to buy out Mark and Alex. Now, hey, I asked Glenn that when we spoke in late March. Could it get to that point? So, like, it's on my radar. Like, maybe it eventually gets to that point. But right now, I can promise you, Mark and Alex have zero intention.
No.
Even, you know, if they're making really good money, right? They have zero intention of selling their 30%, 36% ownership stake back to, like,
I
think there's dudes. I think there's a lot of this that rightfully so fans are like, wake me up when it's done. This team's in the playoffs. Sure. It's fantastic.
Yeah.
And
yeah, enjoy I don't the fans one bit. The players don't care. As long as their check's clear, they don't care.
Exactly. The one thing that I will say is going to become an issue quickly is Tim Connelly. So if this drags on and Mark and Alex do end up on the outside, I don't think Connelly sticks here. I think he exercises that clause that we've talked about, which I think you first broached way back when.
Yeah,
when,
I mean, it was more under the reckless speculation umbrella or something.
Yeah, but you were right.
Comparable last April. I mean, I brought that up last year. I get it now. You know, Shams has a national following.
Right.
It blows up. But yeah, but we talked right. about after year two, Connelly had the hammer, had the power. Yeah, we brought that up a year ago.
But I mean, it sure sounds like from everything that we have discussed and from some of the insiding both you and Phil have done, that, you know, Glenn didn't have much interest, if any, in paying Connelly. Glenn didn't, as we ascertained, didn't know who Connelly was. And I mean, that would be a significant, oh crap, move. Like, that's not a wake me up when it's done, because this guy has done some wonderful things, despite the fact that the Gobert trade we thought was terrible and now turns out to be a really good trade.
Yes. I mean, we'll keep an eye on it. Now, my sense right now, like, I've not heard buzz of Tim behind the scenes, somebody working on Tim's behalf, trying to sniff out another job. Heck, he was in Portsmouth, Virginia last week, working on the Wolves' behalf, doing some scouting, right? He was with a few other members of the Wolves' front office last week, Wednesday, Thursday, you know, before game one. So he was watching all these second-round type prospects or guys that'll go undrafted, but the Wolves have multiple picks in June. So he's been working diligently on the June draft. I mean, the Wolves only have so many draft picks the next few years. So you're going to have two picks in the top 40 this June. So think about the depth that's needed, guys on cheap contracts. So, you know, the way I'm reading it is Tim's been working very, very hard, focused on, hey, Timberwolves draft come June. I've always heard the job to watch was the Wizards job. Well, that's now filled. Like, that's how this came up a year ago was I thought Tommy Shepard would survive another year. So I thought we'd be sitting here right now, April of 2024, talking about the Wizards front office job being open. Well, the Wizards jumped the gun. They get rid of Shepard a year ago. They bring in Michael Winger, who, in a weird way, if things had been different, he gets the job here over Gershon Rosas going back many years. But they hire Winger. Like, that's not changing anytime soon. So I'm not saying Tim wouldn't go somewhere else. I think the family has gotten used to living here in the West Metro. I think it was an adjustment, a big adjustment, but like I haven't heard lately, like, you know, his wife or others are unhappy here, you know, still making $8 million a year. Now he can probably get something like that somewhere else, but I'm just saying right now, like I'm not hearing the strong buzz that Connolly is leaving, but Judd, yes, fair to bring up. Something we absolutely will continue to monitor the next handful of months.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, give us, we got to go here in a minute or maybe two, so give us whatever's left in your scoop bag here, Dugs.
Absolutely. So Elijah Hawkins enters the transfer portal after 12 days ago declaring, I'm back. It's the world of college athletics, right? As long as the portal is open, which it's open for another few days, like I'd keep an eye on at least one more gopher. I'm not saying there's going to be another gopher that declared he's back that is going to enter the portal in the next few days. But trust me, like, just keep an eye on it. Like, I can't tell you definitively 100% all those guys that committed to the Gophers within the last couple weeks are for sure going to be a Gopher in 2 weeks. Like, let's just keep an eye on it. But so far, I know that Creighton, Villanova, Kentucky, Tennessee, plus many others have reached out to Elijah Hawkins. It's pretty clear this comes down to money. Right? He is going to make more money elsewhere. Can't fault the kid. It's just unfortunate that he declared publicly, I'm back, right? Then flips his mind. But you've got agents now heavily involved. A lot of these agents are brokering these deals. We're talking about six-figure deals. So, hey, he's going to make more money elsewhere. It's just, it's unfortunate the way it has played out. I don't think this was ever the intention of NIL. And hey, let's get rid of NIL. Name, image, likeness. It's not NIL. It's pay. Or play. There's a lot of recruiting going on behind the scenes when guys are on rosters, but whether it's an agent, you know, working on behalf of a school, or maybe it's somebody with the school, but it's more so agents. Like, I don't think people realize the power of a lot of these agents, you know, having control now with these athletes switching schools. But that's the way it is. And hey, there's a lot of money to be made. So it's just, I feel bad for the Gophers because NIL wise, the basketball program, my understanding is, I keep saying NIL, even though it's not NIL. The Gophers, like, they have a good sense. They are bottom two in the Big Ten in terms of the amount of money they have. Hey, Dinkytown athletes, way further ahead today compared to this time last year, but they're still far behind many other schools. And so the Gopher basketball program just doesn't have money. It's unfortunate, but it's the way of the world. So I feel bad for Ben Johnson, but, like, you could bring in almost any coach. Now, John Calipari goes to Arkansas. You know, part of the agreement was, hey, I need all sorts of money to spend. I will come here. You're going to pay me, but I also need a lot of money to go buy players.
Yeah.
Right. So you could bring in any coach, right? But if they don't have the money to buy players, the Gopher basketball program is going to go nowhere.
Yep. Yep. All right. Darren Doogie Wolfson, 5 Eyewitness News, 2 days before the NFL draft.
All right. And keep an eye on Grayson Allen tonight. I mean, that ankle injury, if he plays, like, that ankle. Not 100%. So that's something to keep an eye on. I will see you boys at Target Center tonight.
Awesome, man. All right, Dukes. Great stuff, right. Dude.
Sounds
great
good.
Stuff. Yeah. Looking forward. All right. Be sure to check out Purple Daily as well today, where we're going to get our guy Tyler Fornes in for a 7-round Vikings mock draft simulation.
Going crazy.
See you guys.